Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you for indulging me and giving me the floor the second time. But in the interest of interactive discussion, I wish to provide several comments. First, on some general reflections on the comments made with regard to the responsiveness of this draft to the mandate of the GGE, and second, comments on the specific elements that have been raised after my first interventions. With regard to the responsiveness of this draft to the mandate, I would like to echo several delegations who have emphasized the need for our work to be to represent the progression of the discussions and the discourse that this group has facilitated for the past 8 years. And that involves both looking back and also looking forward. So in that spirit, I wish to note the comments from France, the US, and Peru regarding the references to the guiding principles. The Philippines sees this draft as an improvement of the consensus that we have reached in the guiding principles. And we note that since the adoption of the guiding principles, we have been able to flesh out several points of consensus, and we are now prepared to move on and have these elements of a possible consensus recommendation in relation to the aspects of normative and operational framework. In our statement last Friday, we suggested that the link between these draft elements and the guiding principles be strongly reflected in the draft report that we understand you will also be preparing at the end of this week. And we do understand that the draft report will be prepared separately from the from this draft elements. Secondly, with regard to the evolution of the agreed language, which has been raised by a number of delegation, again, we would like to invite this group to not shy away from pursuing the possibility of having an evolution in the agreed language. And in this regard, we do support the proposal of Mexico, which was conveyed on behalf also of Brazil and Chile, and also the comment made just now by my distinguished colleague from Pakistan with regard to paragraph 6. And we believe that it is now ripe for this group to revise this language to indicate that we have achieved a measure of progress with regard to the clarification and consideration of the aspects of normative and operational framework. And we are now prepared to develop the said framework. And in this spirit, the Philippines again would like to echo the statement by Uruguay on the need for paragraph 6 to be given greater prominence in the chapeau of this particular draft element. I also have some comments on the specific elements that have been raised regarding some paragraphs here that the Philippines thought would not have been contentious. First is the issue of international human rights law. We do acknowledge the comments made by some delegations that CCW is an IHL convention, but we disagree that CCW should be limited to the premise of IHL. While we do see that the CCW emanates from the general principle of IHL, we think that the unique structure of the CCW aims to ensure flexibility in dealing with new developments in armed conflict and weapon technology. And I think my colleague from Panama has sufficiently explained that we have jurisprudence demonstrating that international human rights law applies to all circumstances, including armed conflict, which is a purview of this convention. Secondly, with regard to ethical consideration, we would like to echo many delegations who have noted that our work is not only based on legal consideration, but also ethical consideration. And we therefore support the inclusion of the element of ethical consideration and the possibility of having a separate paragraph on ethical consideration based on two reasons. First, we note that beyond the GGE, there is a growing momentum across the multilateral sphere and also in discussions in the private sector with regard to the consideration of ethical perspectives, with regard to building a governance framework on advanced technology, advanced autonomous technology. We note, for instance, not only the codes of conduct that have been adopted by several industries, but also we note that our colleagues in Paris, our colleagues who are accredited to UNESCO, are currently working on recommendations on a framework for ethics that could govern relevant technologies. Secondly, I wish to refer to the chapeau of the 11 guiding principles, which provides, which has been quoted by many delegations here. The chapeau says that ethical perspectives should guide our work. And if you look at the language of the chapeau of the 11 guiding principles, ethical considerations or ethical perspective is given equal weight with that of international law, including IHL and the UN Charter. This view was made it, I mean, this language made it to the chapeau of the 11 guiding principles simply because several delegations expressed the view that it is important for us to be guided by ethical perspective. And this view has not had not been sufficiently challenged by any delegation. We therefore support the retention of the ethical perspective in this particular section. With regard to gender and racial bias, I will not repeat what we have said about the importance of retaining this element. We wish to retain it not only because this particular language is has been suggested in the working paper of the Group of Nine States, but also because there's a growing number of delegation that supports the element of gender and racial bias. Ireland and Panama have expressed that we have rich literature to support this, and if there is no meaningful consensus, or if some delegations think that there's no meaningful consensus on this, we believe it's only because there has been no meaningful response to the concerns raised on this particular element, and we had raised this in particular in paragraph 5A last week. Finally, Mr. Chair, on international peace and security, we note the statements of Pakistan and Peru, and we would like to express our preference to retain the element of international peace and security in paragraph 2. The Philippine position on this is on record. We believe that technical diffusion could create a new strategic terrain that the international rules-based order might not be equipped to govern, and that it might disrupt current strategic balance and could widen current strategic inequities between technically advanced nations and non-technically advanced nations. So we are quite surprised that there would be a debate on this, because we believe that the security, the peace and security dimension, is an important element of our work. I thank you, Mr. Chair.